Praise God. Let's pray. Oh, God, we feel you in this space. We feel your Holy Spirit moving through us, God. Help us to know. Help us to know you. Help us to know that we are not alone, that you reach out and you touch us. You transform us and change us. We thank you, God. Amen. The texts we heard this week are sensual texts, having to do with our senses. In Isaiah, we get this message, have you not seen? Have you not heard? Of course, we're not talking about the literal eyes and ears and their function, but have you not seen and heard in your heart? A good friend of mine from my seminary days who's blind would always, whenever I would see him, he would, you know, we would hug and he would say, oh, it's so good to see you. And that always struck me because he couldn't see. But he could see the people he loves. He can see. And that is the way that we are being called by God to see with all of ourselves. We are being called by God to hear, not just with our ears, but to hear in our bodies. And in the Gospel of Mark, we hear about the power of touch. This is where Jesus is starting up with the healing by laying on of hands, the importance of the physical touch, the power of touch in our touch. We can heal one another. The power of song that moved through this congregation just a few moments ago. And it brought Michael to his knees, to his hands and knees, praising God. And for some people, that's not how the Spirit has moved through you, and that's okay. And for some people, and you know me, I'm quiet, I'm timid, but I have had the Spirit move through me like that, and it is amazing. I pray that every single person in this room at some point is brought to their hands and knees. It doesn't have to be here in this congregation, in this sanctuary, but sometime in your life to feel the presence of God in such a huge way. To let go of it all. You know, I've talked a lot about this idea of safe space, of places being safe. And we know that safe space is not a real thing. Nowhere can we feel totally safe, but we can always feel brave. And this church is a brave space. And it takes courage to feel that Spirit, and it takes even more courage to shout that Spirit. And I had a quick check-in with Michael right before coming up to make sure it was okay to talk about this. Michael is my sibling in Christ and in many ways. And as a trans man, to walk into this space and for him to know that this is a brave space where he can be all of himself. Hallelujah. Look what we made. Look what we did. You know, there are forces of anger and evil in this world. That is undeniable. I know in progressive church context, we don't often talk about the evil one, but let me tell you that evil is absolutely real. Sometimes it lives out in different ways. Sometimes it has a name of religious liberty, which isn't anything about religion or liberty, but is about the right to discriminate, the right to say some people are people and some people are not people. And that is evil. And there are families who get poisoned by evil. Families who get confused by the messages of evil and look at us and say, you are not lovable. Families who say, I would rather you be on the streets than be who you are in my home. And then there's this family. And I remember so well that night, Michael, that you came into this sanctuary And you said, I said, where are you going to sleep tonight? And you said, on the street. And I was so sure that you were not. And we had such a nice ride together in the car and shared some truths with each other about Jesus. And that is why these texts are so perfect, because this is not just a book we read, this is a book that we live with our senses. As Reverend Roland mentioned in his sermon last week, our guest preacher, he and I do some work together with the Center for LGBT and Gender Studies. And one of the things that I do for them is I mentor seminary students, transgender seminary students. And it means a couple times a year I go off to conferences and I get to help people find their voices. One of my students last week, I was at the Creating Change Conference in D.C. and my students were leading a workshop together, and he led us in an activity where he had us come up with two things. First, he said, think of, and I'm going to invite you to do this activity too. His name's Jamari. I'm going to invite you to do Jamari's activity. Think of something that you are sure of. It can be anything at all, just something that there is no question in your life. You are sure, no doubt. Just for an example to get your minds going, mine was, before I moved back to Tampa, now some 7 years or so ago, I was really unsure about coming. And then after being here, there is no doubt that this was absolutely the right place to be. This is where I am supposed to be, and I have no doubt. So think of something that it can be something minor or major, but something that you do not doubt, something you are certain of. And now in that place of certainty, think about your sense of the divine. And that can be God, that can be a higher power, an amorphous something, but whatever the divine is to you, what is your sense of the divine? Something you are sure of and the divine. And you don't have to be totally sure of the divine. We have all kinds of space for wanderers and questioners, and this is a brave space where we can question. My story of the divine was when I was a teenager and I went camping with some friends. My husband, the look on his face is shock. Yes, at least once in my life I slept in the dirt. It's not happening again. Don't get too excited. He's tried. I'm like, yeah, buy a camper. So anyway, so I was camping with some friends, and I didn't quite know if I believed in God or not. I was 17 or so, and I woke up before everyone else, and I came out of the tent, and we were on a side of a mountain, and I watched the sunrise, and I feel like I experienced God, but that's not where the story ends, because the voice of God wasn't like glowing and beautiful and all is well. In fact, it's all about to fall apart. I got a warning from God that it was all about to get terribly messy. And it did. It got really bad. But I knew I could always go back in my mind's eye to the sunrise, and watch God's love, feel it in my body. And as I remembered that and I told that story in Jamari's workshop, I could smell it. I could smell it. I was at that time briefly living in Australia, and I could smell the eucalyptus. Sometimes when you are so sure of something, you can taste it. Sometimes when you remember something, when you experience something, you can smell it. We live the word in our bodies. And with our bodies, whether physically, metaphorically, we stand up. Dr. King told us in his letter from a Birmingham jail, we know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. What does it mean to demand freedom? What does it mean to read the Word of God and also demand freedom? It's not, it would be nice if everyone had freedom. No, it is embodied. We see it and we hear it and we taste it and we feel it. We smell it. That is what it means to stand up for freedom. And this is a call to solidarity. If you don't feel oppressed, God bless you. You are so lucky and you are in a position of power and privilege that you can stand up and help those who are oppressed. Freedom is won through our bodies. By putting our bodies on the line, by inspiring others, by, as the gospel tells us, it is done through touch. In this story that we heard today, Christ healing Simon's mother-in-law. This story then gets turned around and used as a way to oppress women because it says she gets up from her sickness and then she turns around and serves them. Guess what? That is a lie. Not a lie in the text. It's a lie in the interpretation. The translation is mistranslated. And I'm angry about it because it's not that she gets up and serves them cake and cookies. She gets up and serves them as a disciple of Christ. So if people have been using this book to tell you that because you're a woman or because you're a person of color or because you're a disabled person or for whatever reason, if you're an LGBT person and people use this book to tell you that you don't belong and that God doesn't love you, you've been lied to and I'm mad about it. And I can feel it in my gut. So let's put our bodies on the line. Let's see the truth and hear the truth and smell the truth and taste the truth and touch each other with a hand of healing. Let's win that freedom for each other. Let's win equality for each other. Because this is how we love God. When the Holy Spirit moves through us, we know we are doing the right thing. Amen? And Michael is not the only Michael, the only person in that kind of situation who's going to come through our doors. And like I said, look what we made. Look what we've done. This beautiful family that we have created, and God calls us to this moment. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, you challenge us. God, I pray that you make us uncomfortable when we get too comfortable. I pray that you stretch our horizons. And in those moments when things are going to get really bad, you lay your hand on us and say, I am with you. Let us always know that we have the power to be in a brave space to transform this world, and it's going to start right in this room. Amen.